This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, you are so close. You can probably smell it. You can probably taste it. The end of the week is almost there. Put a smile on your face, and we have huge things in store for you tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Actually, that was a total lie. It's been kind of a slow news day today, so we're going to go a bunch of different directions. Yeah, I'll get to emails. There's no question about that, but we're going to talk about some fundamental things that can get lost in the shuffle with the daily grind of this controversy and that controversy. And I'm going to kind of piggyback off of our talk yesterday about foreign workers, the American economy, the future. Yes, I know the shutdown is over, for whatever that's worth. We'll make fun of Michelle Obama, talk about the continued destruction of America's cities, and so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. And do not forget that tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You need to get your questions. All 3 hours are for you tomorrow. Get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So yesterday, we had a very long talk, very constructive talk about Americans, American jobs versus foreign jobs, the H-1Bs. All this stuff was in the news because of all the comments coming from the Trump administration. And there were so many emails about it. Many agreed with what I said. Many disagreed, but were great about it. Everyone got it. We all want the same thing. I want what you want. You want what I want. And here was the central agreement and disagreement. Everybody agreed that Americans should be served by America. America is for Americans. That's the point of being a nation. Mexico is for Mexicans. Canada is for Canadians. That's the point of being a nation. America is for Americans. Not to say people can't come here. Of course they can become citizens, of course. But America is for Americans. And everybody seems to agree. I'm not talking about the communists, set them aside. You and me, we agree that American jobs, Americans should be prioritized for those jobs. Deport foreigners, hire Americans, train Americans. Americans are capable. Americans are talented. Train Americans. And that is what we should focus on now that we've filled up the country with 50 million, 100 million. But we need to focus on Americans. Where some disagreement was, are Americans, are they able to do this? Oh, I know we used to be able to. Well, I know they used to be able to, but are Americans able to do this? And look, I got a bunch of them, and I'll get to them in a little while. I got a bunch of them of saying, hey, we can't. You know what? Here's a great example. Jesse, a few months ago, I'm a 32-year-old master auto tech. It's almost impossible to train anyone to do something as simple as an oil change. But imports are even more impossible. The problem with most Americans is they won't get off their phones. They don't have the attention span long enough to learn anything. They get upset when you tell them to get off your phones. Says I can use his name. His name is Cody. And I'm not going to insult that at all because that is something I hear pretty consistently from employers, whether they be business owners or managers of any kind. Jesse, you don't understand. It's a nightmare. Future generations, they won't get off the phone. They don't want to work. They don't want to. Okay, I understand all that. But setting aside my pretty fairly obvious ugly Americanism, the fact that I love Americans, I love America, I adore my country, I would still die for my country. So we'll set that aside for a moment. Let's say I agree with you, and obviously in some part I have to agree with you because you're experiencing it. I only have these two morons to deal with, so I don't have to experience it all the time. you are out there. Maybe it's your coworkers. Maybe you have these employees, but Jesse, what they won't learn, they don't show up for interviews. All right, let's say I agree. You know, what do they say? You know that old saying about invention, what they say about it? What prompts someone to invent anything? What is it? Necessity. People don't generally sit around and invent things there's no use for. I know that's something that happens, but that's not very common. Historically, if you look at any of the inventions, all the wonderful inventions, they were born out of necessity. Part of our problem here as a country, and I need to explain what I mean when I say this, but part of our problem here is we have lacked a need to do certain things, to show up for that interview, to put your phone down, to learn a skill. We have lacked a need. So let's talk about the root of that, because there's a couple different things that are the root of that. First, the first one is something that is wonderful but can be terrible. If we're going to zoom way out and take a macro view of our country, we're rich. We're wealthy. Empire after empire after empire, if you look at their lifespans, especially powerful empires throughout history, they generally are, it's a 200 to 300 year thing. And I know there have been longer ones, there have been shorter ones, but you look at the biggies, those are kind of their peak years. We're approaching 250 next year, but that's kind of weird, isn't it? Why? Well, generally, again, this is a general way to look at it. A nation that gets wealthy, that gets prosperous, its people are not going to be as hungry as previous generations. Hungry, aspirational, ambitious. It's just human nature. Why do, how many wealthy people do you know? Do you know any wealthy people? Or have you read about them? You watch documentaries on them, whatever, see them on the news. How many wealthy people do you know or have heard of who acquire new skills? I remember when I was younger, especially in my 20s, I remember how many of my friends were constantly acquiring a new skill. Hey, Jesse, I'm going to get into jujitsu. Jesse, I want to learn Spanish. Jesse, I'm going to go back to school and learn that. Jesse, I'm going to go do this. Well, now I'm older. I'm mid-40s. And I have some poor friends, some middle-class friends, some wealthy friends. My wealthy friends, I don't know, just thinking about it here with you, I don't know that I can name a single one that has told me, to my memory, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to learn German. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to learn how to fly. I'm going to get my pilot's license. Hey, Jesse, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go learn how to box. I'm going to take a boxing class. Why? Are they bums? They're not bums. These are financially successful ones. I don't want to act like they're better than anyone who isn't rich, but they're financially very successful. Many of them have families, wives, kids. What? Why aren't they taking boxing? Why aren't you getting that pilot's license? Why aren't you learning to speak German? You don't have to. You don't have to. When your bank account looks fine, it's not the same level of motivation. It's just not. It's not to say, I hate to write. You know that. I despise writing. I don't mind talking, obviously, but I despise writing. When I quit my job selling RVs 7 years ago, and I decided I was going to try to make a media career out of something, I wrote. Did you know that? Fairly consistently, I wrote. They would publish it in places like the Federalist and I think Town Hall, other places like that. I'm not a good writer. So don't. If you're going to go looking for it, lower your expectations. But I wrote. Why? I hate writing. Necessity. I'm out of work. I've got to try to make this work. Whatever I have to do, if I have to do this, if I have to write that, got to write something else. We as a country if we do have a bunch of people who maybe don't have the same drive grandma did and grandpa did, some of that is understandable because we as a country are so insanely wealthy. Doesn't mean you individually are, but as a country, we are comfortable. And when you get comfortable, when you have air conditioning, when you have these things, the drive to be better, to learn more, to do something better tends to fade, not with every individual, but as a nation. That's part of it. That's part of the lack of necessity. Let's address the other part of it, and it's a big, big part of it. Before we get to that part of it, do you have that lazy, worthless employee who won't get off their phone and get to work? Are you struggling to hire somebody? If you are, welcome to the club. It's a big club, and there are lots of people in it. I can't find anyone. Jesse, I can't find anyone. Jesse, the people I have suck. That's what ZipRecruiter is here for. ZipRecruiter is here to make your hiring life faster and easier. One of the most ridiculous stats I've ever heard is that 4 out of 5 employers, most of these people are struggling to find someone, get somebody within the first day of signing up a ZipRecruiter. They take the best candidates and drop them in your lap. From there, little meeting here, little meeting there, boom, done. You can quit. You want to try it for free? ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday as we near the end of the week, talking about some fundamental problems here. Before I get to your emails about it, kind of piggybacking off our conversation from yesterday about America, American workers. Do we need all these legions and legions of foreigners coming in? And what I said in the opening is necessity creates a lot. It always has. It creates inventions, creates motivation, ambition in people. Necessity does. Here's a headline from Ford's CEO. Says he has 5,000 open mechanic jobs with six-figure salaries from the shortage of manually skilled workers. And he adds in, we are in trouble as a country. I have heard this time and time and time again. Jesse, I have great jobs. Jesse, I have six-figure jobs. Jesse, I can't find anyone to fill it. All right, so how does that make sense? What do we do about that? There's a job. You're a mechanic. You can be a mechanic for Ford. Make $100,000 a year. And I don't know how deep into the six figures it went, but make $100,000 a year. Go work for Ford. Where's the disconnect? People want to make money. People want to be able to go to Red Lobster. People want to be able to afford a cell phone, a night out, the finer things. People want to buy shoes for their kids. Christmas is coming up. Where's the disconnect? Well, part of that disconnect is this. Do the people who can fill those jobs, do they feel a need to fill those jobs? Do you remember the statistic we found out? I mean, this is one I had known, but it got bigger and bigger and bigger in the news during the government shutdown. The statistic we found out of the number of Americans who get free food, over 40 million. And here we run into the problem. It's a common term used now, suicidal empathy. 40 million people getting free food? We're not talking temporarily. Hey, I'm on hard times. We needed it for 4 or 5 months. How many of those people? Remember the one lady I played you the audio? She'd been on it for 30 years. 30 years. Why has that woman not gone out and found gainful employment in 30 years? She was eating. She doesn't share your ambition, your motivation. She doesn't want to conquer the world, be a CEO, a stay-at-home mom, an elder in a church, a coach. She's not aspirational in that way. What does she want? To eat. So what do we do to motivate her to get off your dime and my dime and get back into the workforce, we take her money away and starve her. But that sounds mean. Life is freaking mean. That's how it works. That's how it works. That's the essence of how an economy has to work. You can hope that people will be as aspirational as you or me or someone else, but that's not generally how people are built. People work as hard as they have to in general. It goes back to my restaurant theory, one we've spoken about 1,000 times on the show. Maybe you're new to the show, so let me explain. Do you know why I generally will not eat at a beachfront restaurant, a mountaintop restaurant, one of those restaurants that's in a big space needle somewhere? You know why I generally will not eat at one of those sports bars that advertises they have scantily clad waitresses? It's not just because I think Ob may give me the side eye about such a thing. It's because you know what you're going to feed me in there? You're going to feed me subpar food. And you know why you're going to feed me subpar food? Because you can. Because people show up at your beachside restaurant and they want to look at the ocean and get an ocean breeze. Therefore, you're not going to go out and find quality cuts of meat. You're not going to bake fresh bread every single day. You're not going to do the basics that the restaurant that has to grind does. You're on the beach. You can give me day-old bread and a crappy cut of beef because I want to sit and look at the ocean. You're not going to give me chicken wings that are dynamite with your special recipe and maybe a pizza that's hand-tossed in the back because you have a 20-year-old who's half-naked running around serving beers to people. And for most customers, that's enough. But it's not enough for me because I'm there for the food. I don't care about the ocean. I really don't care about the waitress. I want to eat. So I'm going to the one that's on the side road that no one knows about except by word of mouth. They're scratch making every single thing in the back. And you know why? Necessity. They have to. They don't have 20-year-old named Carly. They don't have a mountaintop, a space needle view. They're not on the beach. You can't look at the dolphins. They have nothing else to offer you except an amazing meal. And so that's what you're going to get, an amazing meal. We have these job openings, and we keep saying Americans won't fill them. Americans won't fill them, maybe because we pay millions of Americans not to freaking work. Maybe that's the problem. The second you start missing meals, the second bills start piling up, you'd be surprised how hard you work. That's the way human nature works. No, you know another thing about human nature? We put things off. I do it. It's my job to take out the trash in the house. Do I do it the second it fills up? Nah. It can wait a couple hours. We can fit a couple things in there. It's human nature. Are you putting off Legacy Box? I know you want it. Everybody wants their hard copy pictures digitized. Everyone looks at those home videos, the VHS tapes or film reels or whatever. Everyone looks at those and thinks, oh man, I want that digitized. It'd be nice to have that forever, to not have to stress about losing it, the tape going bad. I want that done, but we put it off, don't we? Oh, maybe next month, maybe next year. Sounds like a pain. No, the time is now. It's Black Friday special time at Legacy Box. And if you get your box in very, very soon, you get them back by Christmas. This is the Christmas gift that will last for generations. How many Christmas gifts have you given to anyone that will outlive them and their children? Legacy Box will. Keep your memories forever. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday as we are nearing the end of the week, reminding you that tomorrow is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And you need to get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So necessity can improve our workforce. I also want to clarify that I am aware of our, I hate using this term because they love using this term, but of our systemic problems. Problems like this one. Students at California University without eighth grade math skills skyrockets. That's UCSD, University of California, San Diego. But that's something we see consistently. We can't do math. We can't do this. We can't do that. So what is this systemic problem? Is it because young people are stupid now? They used to be so smart and hardworking in our grandparents' generation. Now they're all dumb. That's not true. And by the way, your grandparents' generation had a bunch of morons and dirtballs in it too. And some great people too, just like this generation does. So if it's not the generation, then what is it? Well, we have allowed our body as a country, we have allowed it to be poisoned by Marxism. And that poison comes with real consequences, lasting consequences that are going to be difficult to work our way out of, but we have to decide we're going to, and we're going to have to do it. The greatest thing the communist ever conquered in this country is the education system. He conquered the education system and then made sure the education system was designed to serve him in the revolution. The education system is not designed, our government education system, I should say, it is not designed to make sure Aiden, Jaden, and Braden can do a complete sentence, can do math, know basic STEM skills. It's not designed for that at all. Our government education system, run by government employees, is designed to create a whole bunch of people who will spend their lifetime serving and growing the government. That is the idea behind government schools. And so now we'll just whisk the biggest idiot through high school and send him to a university, especially if he's not white. We'll send him off to a university, and then the college will graduate him too. And we look around, and someone walks in. He's applying for a new job, and he has a degree from the University of California, San Diego, graduated high school, has a college degree. Surely this is a competent human being. We find out he can't competently send out an email. He can't do basic math. He shows up late for work, and we look around and throw our hands up and say, these young people today are completely worthless. But it's not the young people who are completely worthless. It is the system that is guiding these young people. That is what's completely worthless. And again, it's not all of them. There's a Christian private school in my area. It's the next town over in my area. Do you know what their college attendance is out of that school? Over 99%. Over 99%. Now, from what I understand, I'm not there. I don't know specifically. From what I understand, they're going to practically kill you in school. You're going to be writing papers. You're giving speeches. You're digging in. And at the end of that grind, you're prepped, you're primed, you're ready. You go look at the alumni of that school. It's a CEO here, a manager there, an entrepreneur here, a mayor there, a senator here. It's no, Chris, it's not me. Yeah, it's definitely not for me. But when you get your children in the right system with the right values, they end up blossoming. Now, so what are we talking about here? If the Ford CEO says he has these open mechanic jobs, what's the problem? The problem comes down to the percentages. I'm not worried about your children. I know your children will be fine. But this actually, it pairs perfectly with our birth crisis. Elon Musk loves talking about this. There are articles talking about this all the time. People aren't having enough kids. People aren't having enough kids. But that's not really the whole story. If you drill down into it, right-wingers are having great amounts of kids. Right-wingers, Republicans, are growing up to have children at replacement level. You are having plenty of kids. And then your children, because you raise them with values. Even if they go to a government school, you raise them with values. They know what's up. They work hard. Maybe you homeschool them. Maybe it's a Christian school, whatever, or Jewish school. Sorry, Chris. But do you understand? You raise them with values. Yours turn out great. The left is not having babies. They're not. The birth rate for communists has completely fallen off. Since they all decided they're gay and the women all got fat and ugly, nobody wants to get married anymore. All the men are toxic and the women are fat and no one wants to get married anymore. No one wants to make babies anymore. But what about my climate anxiety? Now, the net result of this is, as a nation, you look at our birth rate and you're mortified. We're not making babies. You are, though. Or at least you want to. You are. The right is, the left is not. As a country, why do we have so many turds, almost an elevated percentage of turds, trying to go into the workforce? Well, again, some don't need it. They don't need the money. Others, well, they're raised by lazy, worthless communists. They have a feeling of entitlement. They don't want to show up on time. They don't want to grind. They want to bring the boss problems. I continue to hear stories about people bringing their mommy to job interviews. And after you get the job, I've heard this, and I heard this just from a buddy again the other day, of parents calling the workplace when their child either is sick and doesn't want to come in or gets in trouble at work. Mommy calling the boss. Oh, my gosh. I wish just as a gag I could resurrect my father, well, for a variety of reasons, but I wish I could resurrect my father and as a gag call him, or no, I would want to do it in person, tell him, hey, Dad, the suits at iHeart, they're really mad at me. Would you call them and talk to them for me? Oh, my gosh, the scorn he would pour down on me. He did the disgust. I can picture the disgust in his face. But that's not your kids. And if you're one of the kids listening right now, that's not you. It's not going to be you. You're going to be a grinder. Now, before I get to the emails on this, and I will, one other aspect of this. Times change. Economies change. The things that made money 50 years ago may not have made money 30 years ago. And the things that made money 30 years ago maybe aren't money makers now. Yeah, but when I was growing up, when I was failing out of college, you know what? You know what was huge? These software engineers, anything software, IT, it was the hot field. You wanted a guaranteed job, that's what you did. I hear all these stories now. That field's dying. Now, largely, that's because they went over to New Delhi and dragged them all over here, but that it's dying. And I'm not joking about that Delhi thing. How about this?
Most of the workers come from India. In fact, 70% of H-1B visa holders come from India. Another 10 to 15% come from China. 80% of H-1B visa approvals are for entry-level or junior-level jobs.
Anyway, we're not going to go off on that again right now, but times do change. The headline again, 5,000 jobs at Ford, six-figure mechanic jobs. Imagine leaving your mechanic school, walking into a job where you make $100,000 a year without any college debt. Maybe we're looking in the wrong place. Maybe the trades have opportunities there. And Goldco has opportunities, like free silver. Did you know that you might qualify for up to $15,000 in bonus silver? It's not some gimmicky thing. It's just going to depend on what you're doing with them as far as your retirement account and the amounts and things like that go. But gold keeps hitting records, and I keep telling you about it. Nations are hoovering up as much of it as they possibly can. Goldco will even get you a free copy of their 2025 gold and silver kit. Just make a phone call. 855-817-GOLD or go to jessielikesgold.com. If nothing else, get some physical gold or silver in your hands because you never know. That's basic preparation everybody knows about. 855-817-GOLD. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. Remember, you can download the show iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Shut up, Chris. Sometimes I struggle with speaking. It's not a big deal. All I am is a humble radio host. Yes, I'm aware the shutdown is over. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me is this.
Lita Schumer and the overwhelming majority of Senate Democrats waged a valiant fight week after week after week, month after month after month.
Valiant? Do they all have to speak in these terms? Valiant. It was brave. Doesn't that bother anyone else? Anyway, back to the emails on the labor stuff. Jesse. H-1Bs, this guy said, you're right, they should be banned in favor of U.S. workers, but wrong for H-1B workers work for pennies on the dollar. The Department of Labor must first determine the prevailing wage for the job and issue a labor condition declaration before an H-1B can be issued. So the argument must be that we shouldn't hire foreigners in lieu of U.S. graduates, not that foreigners cost less. This is actually 100% incorrect. I know technically by the law you think you're correct, and I'm not insulting you at all. This is incorrect because here's what they have discovered as they have dug into all the H-1B fraud. They hide jobs. This is what U.S. corporations do. And actually, in fact, let's rewind before I dig into this. Fundamental issue. We're going to discuss the fundamental issue. One of the fundamental issues plaguing this mass importation of foreign labor is patriotism, or lack thereof. That's really the problem. Patriotism. You see, everything becomes the bottom line. And I love the bottom line. I want corporations to make money. I'm a capitalist, an unapologetic capitalist. But it can't be everything. It can't be everything, or you might as well just have slaves again. If there's no morality, no care for your country or your countrymen at all, then why not just let's dig up some slaves? There's always some slaves out there somewhere in the world. Slave labor's never gone away, never will. Well, I don't want that, and neither do you, I'm assuming. I'm at least hoping. Neither, I don't want that. But how do you keep a corporation from going that route? If I have to pay Jewish producer Chris $10 an hour, which is probably about $9 an hour more than he's worth, but if I have to pay him $10 an hour and I have some dude from India, he can do maybe not the same job, but he'll do kind of the job for $5 an hour. What's stopping me? Why hire Chris over this guy? Well, in that moment, if my loyalty is only to the bottom line, if that's all that matters to me in my life, well, sorry, Chris, pack up your bags. Looks like you're going to go make menorahs somewhere. But if I have a care, even not necessarily for Chris, if my care isn't for Chris at all, if my care is for my country and my countrymen, then I say, no, we're not doing that. But part of this comes back to the global economy we have. Companies like Disney, I'll use them as an example because it's a putrid communist company that you should give no money to at all. I despise Disney, absolutely despise them. Disgusting that a company that size that serves children has decided to try to make them all gay. It just drives me up the friggin' wall. Anyway, setting that aside. Disney also got famous a few years ago for, of course, bringing in a bunch of people from India to train or to be trained by the Americans they were about to replace. You got a memo as an American. Hey, Habu's going to be here tomorrow morning, and you are going to spend the next few months training him. Why? Why am I training him? Oh, because he's going to do your job. At the end of that time, you'll be let go. All right. On top of the fact that Disney's a soulless, evil corporation, it's a global corporation, and that's part of the problem, too. Like, remember Bud Light? Remember the controversy around Bud Light when they dragged that tranny out there and threw him on an online ad, and everybody freaked out and said, what is this, the gay beer? And then their sales dropped off. Well, then people started to discover something. When people see Budweiser, what are you thinking? Well, it's America. America, that's red, white, and blue, baby. European company bought them out years ago. Now, they kept the American name. They kept the American image as long as they possibly could. But when people are making gigantic decisions at an international corporate level, they're not making decisions on America, on behalf of America, I should say. Why? Because they're not American. Disney has business all over the world. Parks all over the world. The movies go all over the world. Disney this, Disney that. So when you're running Disney, when you are making hiring decisions, you might not even be an American. If you are an American, you probably are a dirty communist if you sit on the board. But no matter what it is, you serve a global company, not an American company. I'm not saying we can fight against that. It's a global economy, and that's kind of inevitable anyway. But that's another huge problem. We're trying to appeal to the patriotism of companies that aren't American. They were once American. Maybe we still fool ourselves into thinking they're American, but they're international companies. Anyway, back to your email. What these international and American companies do is they hide the jobs, meaning they don't put these jobs out there so Americans ever have the opportunity to see them. We're seeing this more and more now as the scandal is being uncovered. Yeah, you've got 500 jobs. You make sure you never advertise it. Then you go to the Department of Labor. Hey, I can't find anyone to fill it. We have no choice but to go over there. And yes, they do work for far, far less than Americans. Again, that's something they tried to lie about for a very long time, unsuccessfully. All right, we're going to divert from this for a little bit before I get back to the emails. We're going to talk about everything from climate change to mental health struggles. Fred has mental health struggles. You know why? Because Ob and the boys left this morning. It's just gone for a few days. So me, I'm bachelor padding it, but it's not like it'll be that relaxing because most of the time will be spent comforting Fred and informing him the world has not come to an end because people once again left for a day or two. This would normally be the time where Fred's breakfast would come back up because he gets a nervous stomach. But Rough Greens changed all that. We sprinkle Rough Greens on Fred's food because dog food is dead. That's why your dog's at the vet all the time. That's why you're spending a fortune. Rough Greens saves you money. Because you're putting the number one dog supplement in America on your dog's food, making your dog healthier, better energy, better coat, better breath, and your dog, therefore, doesn't have to go to the vet every other week for $600 a pop. You want a free jumpstart trial bag? You go to roughgreens.com and use the promo code Jesse. Roughgreens.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.